This is the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time now for the Rex Ryan Report. It's brought to you by Fidelis Care and Bud Light. Coach, always good to talk to you. I got to begin with some controversy that our guy got into and you were privy to as well. Because Bart's the guy that was calling out Kyler Murray for some things that he was seeing about him personality-wise and the way he was carrying himself on the sideline, to a point now where everybody in Phoenix hates Bart.
That's
but he then has that, you know, the throw that he has, and everybody's talking about Miracle Murray and everything else, but would you say it's the catch that was more than anything that made that play?
I just think it was incredible. I mean, guys, that's not even a play design. You know, he was trying to get, because I watched it today, me and Dan Orlovsky watched it today. He's trying to actually get Larry Fitzgerald on a over route, trying to get him to get closer so they can take a shot. But Kyler Murray, you got to give him his props. He sees, I got my guy down there, I'm going to just give it to him, and gave him an opportunity. But you're right, that's like one of the greatest catches ever. It's on top of three guys. I mean, he mossed three guys on the same exact play. And it's just amazing. You see how the strength of the guy's hands and it's just amazing. I mean, it's an incredible throw, but my gosh, the catch was just spectacular.
And just so I can clarify, what I'm saying is, I'm not saying what he is or what he isn't right now. What I'm saying is, first sign of trouble. Of course, it's all sunshine and roses, it's newlywed phases, but the way he answers questions when things are relatively well, if things go bad, I don't see him being able to handle, you know, losing in controversy, which we know every NFL player has to face. So they can give him his roses, and I never said he wasn't a great player. What I'm saying is, I don't like his demeanor after losses. I don't like his body language. You need to stand up when you lose and win, shoulders back. I've seen Tom Brady, I've seen Peyton Manning lose Super Bowls and sit up there with pride, and it's a beacon of confidence to his team that, hey, we lost, but this is how you handle losing as well. You know, in this league, you're going to lose just as many. Maybe hopefully you win more than you lose, but when you do lose, you have the same pride and dignity, and you give the reporters the same respect because you're the CEO. Now, if it's a guy like me, Brian Cox, Terrell Suggs going off, that's to be expected. That's not to be expected from the quarterback position. So they can say whatever they want out in Phoenix. First of all, I have no reason to ever visit Phoenix anyway. The best thing about Phoenix is as close to L.A.
Oh, and you know what? What's funny is, I know where you're coming from with that. You're right. You're the face of the franchise, whether you want to be or not, and you're the face of the franchise through the good times and the bad times. You and the head coach. It's just part of the gig. But I get it. We've seen that, though. A few of these younger guys, Baker Mayfield was the same way. It's like, he'd be short with you and quick and
right,
I'm going to get you back or something like that, almost immature-like. But it's just what it is. I'm sure he'll grow with it the longer he's, the longer he's doing it. But at the same time, the guy's spectacular. We get it as a player. But, yeah, there's some things that he's going to grow with, and this happens with younger guys. And, look, we understand nobody likes losing. You know what I mean? But you handle it that way and understand that you are the face of the franchise at all times.
Until we're going to get to your son, I'm sure, later in this interview. But when I saw that and I saw DeAndre Hopkins and the amazing catch that he made, and then I watched Action Jackson yesterday, and I'm watching Willie Snead in position to make not a great play, a good play, a play that you expect higher end receivers to make. It just reminds me that Lamar doesn't have a guy, and we want to compare him and Ryan Clark last week saying he'll take Kyler Murray. If Lamar Jackson was throwing some of those passes that may be inaccurate, maybe off, maybe into triple coverage, a guy like DeAndre Hopkins, Michael Thomas, Evans, we expect to make those catches. What I was saying and what I've been saying is, it's unfair for us to judge Lamar because he doesn't have a guy like that to throw to. The guy that he's throwing to like that he's expecting to come up with 80% of the balls is a tight end. And not since Gronkowski has we seen somebody dominate on a consistent basis with throwing those 50-50 balls in gotta-have-it moments to a tight end. So it's unfair to me when I look out there. I don't even recognize DuVernay, like Boykins. Never. Come on, man. Like, really? So to me, that's what I was saying. So, you know, unfortunately, like today is just going to be more vindication for guys like Ryan Clark that believes that Kyler Murray's special. And maybe he is special, but I don't think he's any more special than Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson has to do more with less than they have to do.
Yeah, I look at it this way, Bart. I think both those kids are special. I mean, look, let's face it, Lamar Jackson won the league MVP last year. So that's pretty dang special. Kyler Murray was taken with the first overall pick because of his special talent. I mean, he's an amazing, you know, guy that way. But you're right, the move that has put Kyler Murray into this spotlight and all that stuff right now is getting Hopkins, because you mentioned having that go-to guy. And, you know, he's in there. Larry Fitzgerald and Christian Kirk, God's fine, decent pieces. But give me a break. When they got Hopkins, it put this team over the top. And it was just a great move, aggressive move of going out and getting them. And obviously, I think the greatest trade in the history for a franchise. Just such a bad trade for Houston. But Lamar Jackson, listen, he's not – this isn't the same team as last year, because they lost some of the people. You know, they don't have – you know, they don't have that tight end package that was so effective for them last year. And, look, Brown's supposed to be your big-time receiver. He's so small, and he plays small. You know, he wants the darn football. Well, guess what, dude? How about you grow like 3 inches or something like that? Because he is hard to find. And you saw where Lamar tried to force the issue. And look, Lamar is not a guy that throws with touch. He's got to throw it more on the line. And this is not a great combination. I think Lamar needs bigger targets. And when he has those guys, he could be really effective. And we saw it all last year. That's why he won the league MVP.
We're talking with Rex Ryan, as we do each week at this time. And Rex, with that in mind, and you know, obviously Hopkins is an amazing target, an amazing skill set to have with a young quarterback. Somebody you can just throw it up and he can make the play, especially the one like he made yesterday at the end of that game. And right before that, you saw just Stephon Diggs, another great pickup in the offseason. A young quarterback in Josh Allen can rely on a guy like that who's been great this year, a pickup like that. How important is it? When you had a very young quarterback like Mark Sanchez, you guys had a veteran group around him. Is that the way you have to do it? When you have a young quarterback and you feel the urge, all right, we took him very high in the draft, we've got to play him right away. The importance of making sure that he's got veteran skill set around him. How important is that, and how important was that for you guys with Mark Sanchez?
Well, you know, it's a good question. I mean, look, we never thought that, well, just because he's a high pick, we got to play him right now. We had nobody else. That was why he ended up winning that deal. And, you know, we had Kellen Clemens. Whatever. But trust me, had nobody else.
Clint Lemon.
So he won the job, right? Job. And when we started that season, we started off 3-0. And, you know, we had Jericho Cotchery was our number one receiver. And then we had Chance, the Stucky kid out of Clemson was a guy. And we ended up trading him in a Braylon Edwards trade. But, yeah, if we could upgrade, that's great. But, you know, and it's hard to win, obviously, with young quarterbacks in the league. But, you know, anytime there's an opportunity that you have to get a special talent, obviously that's going to help any quarterback, and especially a guy like DeAndre Hopkins. DeAndre Hopkins is so good at contested throws, and that's what it is. And, you know, in those situations, you want to help a guy? Let him go out there, throw up, as they say, quote-unquote, the 50-50 ball. No such thing with DeAndre Hopkins. That's way in his favor. Same thing with a Mike Evans or somebody like that. But I think that's what you do. And you saw what was the piece that was missing for Buffalo. They wanted that go-to receiver. It's going to make Brown better. The other receiver's going to make Cole Beasley better. Having that go-to guy. And they can complement each other. Well, look at how Josh Allen's playing this year. Yep. I mean, he is in that MVP conversation, a young quarterback, and how that's elevated him. We see it with Kyler Murray, how he's elevated by Hopkins. So, yeah, anytime you get an opportunity like that, you go out and take it, especially if you think you're one or two guys away.
All right, let's get to who Bart calls your son. What did you see from the Giants? What did you see from Danny Dimes, Daniel Jones in this game? We saw really more of the same, except for another game, no turnovers. Is that really all it takes for Daniel Jones to prove he could be a franchise quarterback?
Yeah, Daniel Jones is a special talent, and people are ridiculous. They don't see it. His only negative is the fact that he would turn the ball over, that he's got to learn how to protect the football. And that way it protects the team. We've seen him do a nice job of that these last couple of weeks. But he's got arm talent to be special. He's got athleticism to be special. And he's got toughness to be special. So that's what's, you know, that's all it takes. And as fans, we want it right away. Well, hell, how about we have a left tackle that's not a turnstile? How about we have, you know, other things around him? He doesn't have a bona fide guy. Hell, tell me his bona fide guy. You know, Ingram finally made some catches, but he's had a ton of drops too. So we're seeing it. The thing I was most impressed with the Giants was this. Joe Judge, the night before, I was going to take the Eagles in the game. I picked the Giants because I knew they would come out inspired. He showed a tape to his players about showing enthusiasm, passion, those type of things to his players, and how much he appreciated that. That's who we are. He talked about that's who we are, not who they are. This is, you know, it's a we thing. It's you're my players. And that's the thing, and I think because I hate when he's, you know, Joe Hart, you know, hard butt or whatever, Joe Badass. When he just showed them that how much he appreciated them. And that, to me, he won this team over. And watch what happens at the end of this, at the string. Watch how good this team plays. And I think it's all because this guy picked this spot. You know, I never saw it coming, and I'm sure that team didn't see it coming. Well, now that it's happened, he kind of, you know, it's like, hell, I kind of get where he's going. I kind of get where Coach is going. And I see him in a different light, much more respectful than I did in the past.
Well, Rex, I think Joe Judge is, when you do things like that, you reveal to your players your heart. Like, you can be a hard ass all you want, but then when you reveal your heart, you can say he's a hard ass, but he's our hard ass, and we're going to ride for him. But when you reveal your heart like you did, I thought that was the key to you. You revealed your heart. That you cared, not just about, you know, the wins or losses, but you cared about the individual. And when you do that and you say, hey, man, I feel like my leader is in the foxhole with me. He's not somewhere on the top of the mountaintop, you know, walkie-talkie and then commands. He's down here with us. He's shooting behind us. He got our six. And when you do that, then you have something special. And listen, it ain't about the most talented team. The most talented team won't win this division. It's the team that plays the hardest, and it's the team that buys in. Because as you have these ups and downs and these ebb and flows of a season, what happens is you have guys that jump off the ship. And I'm sure it's still a couple of guys. Golden Tate was one of those guys a week ago. That kind of point. And if he didn't either get on board and get in line and didn't apologize to the team, then he's a guy that you look to move. Not because, even if you have to eat some salary cap, because you have to have guys that believe in the system and believe in what you're trying to build and not see where you're at, but see where you're going. And sometimes you have a veteran player like Golden Tate, they don't see that. So you have to get off of that and get rid of them. Much like you got rid of Abe Elam. You got rid of the defensive tackle that you sent to Cleveland as well. That, not that he would have been a problem, but he was just a two-gap guy. You had to get guys that believed in your system and how you did things, because some guys had already been brainwashed. And some guys are brainwashed by the previous regimes and previous coaches and always saying, hey, that I want to do it like we used to do it. No, this is a different thing. You do it the way we do it. We do it differently here. And sometimes it's hard to reprogram some guys, you know, that's been so hardwired that they hard to be able to erase their memory bank. You know, I want to go also. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, and you're exactly right. And that's some of the thing, because you want to do it too, coaches included. Like, when you have some carryover coaches, are they going to buy in or not? Mike Westhoff, is he going to buy in? Is, you know, Brian Schottenheimer? Well, I just knew they were quality coaches and quality people. And that's all I needed. And then I was going to show them my enthusiasm, my passion, and the way I've, you know, and I kept them. It's not easy to do, but I looked at it as like, oh, no, these guys are damn good coaches. But when I met them, I knew they were my kind of guys, and they fit right in. We brought in guys on defense. Why? We had you, Jim Leonard, and Marquise Douglas.
Yep.
Those are the three guys we needed. Now, when you look at it on paper, we also lost 9 players on defense. From a defense that was 23rd in the league, we flipped it overnight. We did it because we had 100% buy-in. And it started with you players, you three guys, coming in there, Bart. And I never had to do anything. You guys were, hey, listen, trust me. If you just buy in, we're going to get this done. And it happened.
Now, when I look at Daniel Jones and everybody, you know, he has his warts, right? And they all do, especially young quarterbacks. When I look at him, and I've always looked at him, when I see him, I see Josh Allen with more touch on the football. I think he has as equally a strong arm. I think he has more touch to do the intermediate throws. But I think one of the most underrated parts of his game is the fact that he can run the football. I mean, he's pulling away from guys. He has one of the fastest runs this year. And yesterday, again, 9 for 64 yards, people keep disrespecting him because the narrative is that he's some goofy dope in the middle of the pocket like Eli Manning. But he's far from that. He's Eli in his alternate universe, Eli Manning.
Because he's more athletic dynamic, than people think. Right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
But they look at him, he's the all shucks right. And the khakis, and they think that he's just...
Well, he's a modern... I guess he's more of the modern quarterback, though, but with Eli's, you know, personality and demeanor, which all that stuff, I guess, does kind of work together. Do you agree with that parallel there, Ray?
Yeah. Well, exactly. Here's the thing we're forgetting on him that most people are sleeping on, and Bart, you bring it up. This dude is a phenomenal athlete. And that's what people don't get. Get it over your head. This guy is a phenomenal athlete. And the other thing is, the best thing he brings, there's two things, competitiveness and toughness. And that's what I saw when I saw him coming out of Duke. And that's why I loved him when he was coming out of Duke.
Sometimes taking some L's in college is a good thing, man. You know, all the L's I took in college made me a better player because I was used to playing without guards that can peep with guards in my face all the time. Last one I want to get to because I look at all week I was able to do national TV and I screamed from the high heavens that the problem in Tampa was the fact that they needed to come and settle on a personnel grouping. And I believe that Tom Brady's best personnel grouping was two tight ends and running the ball through Ronald Jones. Man, do I look like a genius today, because Ronald Jones, 23 carries for almost 200 yards, and Tom Brady leads the league with 11 touchdowns. I know he probably added to it yesterday with two tight ends on the field with 11 touchdown passes. I think they have to find a way to find Antonio Brown's snaps, but I think they should settle on the two tight end set, which is the hardest to defend, especially when you have two tight ends that can receive the football.
Yeah, that's a great point, and it definitely works for them because those tight ends can block, too. If you're just bringing out there, hey, he's a tight end, but he can't block, that doesn't help you. So in this case, you're exactly right with that group. But a stat that today that I talked about is when you're balanced, when Tom Brady, his offense is balanced, they're almost he's almost unbeatable. 75-2 is Brady's record when his team runs for 35 rushing attempts or more in a game. That's what ticked me off so bad the week before about, what do you got, no clue on, do you not realize that? You know, Tampa Bay, when they only had 3 real rushing attempts in a game, absolutely ridiculous. But when they are more balanced, that team could beat anybody. And all those weapons that we've talked about, Antonio Brown, Mike Evans, Gronk, Braid, you know, Godwin, all those guys are going to show up when you run the football. Play action shows up. All of a sudden, your offensive line looks like they can protect the quarterback. And it all starts because you're committed to running the football and being balanced on offense.
Rex, we're going to leave it right there. Great stuff as always. Good to talk to you. Thanks.
All right. My pleasure, guys. Look forward to it next week.
Don't miss Bart Scott and Alan Hahn. Weekdays at 11 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN.